Let's take our Bibles and turn, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. And if you would, please, out of respect to our Lord and to His words, can we stand together, please, as we read God's holy word. I'm glad tonight we have a Bible that we can trust. And I'm glad that that Bible can make a difference in people's lives. It's always a blessing to know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For we have made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call your attention to the memory verse that is in your brochure there. And if you would please, I'd like for you to look at it for just a moment. I want you to notice a phrase in there. And we're going to kind of focus on that phrase in this lesson. Notice what it says. It says, "How shall they call in Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him on whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So the question then comes is this: how can someone hear if no one tells them? How can someone hear if no one tells them? If no one told you that there's a bridge that's washed out down the road, on the road that you're going, how would you know unless someone took time to tell you? And here it is. As you look at it, what God is saying to us is that we need to realize that nobody is going to be able to know or hear unless there's somebody to tell them. Unless there's someone who is willing to say, you know, I want to tell them. So the question then comes in is, the Bible teaches that we are to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We are to bear witness into our community, around our family, every place we go. We're to be that witness for Jesus Christ. A witness is a person who sees and gives a first-hand account of what they see and know. That's what a witness is. So we're not just simply that we've seen it. That's an eyewitness. But that we tell what we've seen. And so if we're saved, we know that God has done something in our life. And the Bible said that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, God tells you and I to be a witness for Him everywhere we go. Just like if you were to meet that special someone who you married. You know, it's like, you know, you want everybody to know about that. You know, you shouldn't be embarrassed about the fact that you've met a special person. I know when you know, my wife and I, we're engaged, and so we called our families, and then, you know, our families, we want to introduce our families to because we were both adults in that day and that time, and we're away from home, and we met, and so, you know, we want to introduce, you know, our spouses, our future spouses now to our, and so you want to be able to, now that you have someone special in your life, you can't help but want to tell people about it. I feel sorry for a person who knows Jesus Christ, but it's like embarrassed to let people know that. And being a witness means that I can't help but want everyone to know, because just like He's very special to me, He can be very special to them. I want Him to be in their life so that they can enjoy the same relationship that I enjoy. And so you just want everybody you can, everybody anywhere, to know about Jesus Christ. So the question that in this lesson is, who will tell my family and friends? And the obvious answer is us. Us. We're the ones to tell our friends. We're the ones to tell our loved ones. We're the ones to tell our neighbors. However, the idea of telling someone, and I'm using the word sharing our faith, the idea of telling someone can be a little bit frightening. It can be. Because here's what happens. We have some people that come along with us and say, well, you know, what if I say something that would cause him to never get saved? Or what if I say something that's not right? Or what if I say something that they won't understand and I can't answer that? You know, there's a lot of things that people come up with. Or they might even say this, well, you know, sharing your faith and being a soul winner is a gift. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible doesn't say it's a gift. The Bible said it's a command. You know, it's not that, you know, when I got, you don't have the gift of baptism, you're commanded to get baptized. You don't have the gift of prayer, you're commanded to pray. You don't have the gift of soul winning, you're commanded to go soul winning. In fact, you don't even have the gift of breathing. You just breathe. And what God is saying is that when we understand this, is that I as a Christian, now that I'm saved, that I am commanded, that I want to go out, I want to tell people about Christ, I want people to know Jesus Christ, I want people to meet Him. And so my responsibility is sharing my faith. We call that soul winning. Now the word soul winning is a biblical term. It's used in Proverbs. He that winneth souls is wise. But the term has, for some people, they have no idea what that means. I remember passing a church one time, and on the sign it says, "We're in the soul-saving business." And I knew what they meant. I don't think that was a really good sign. Because number one is, churches don't save souls. God does. But if we say we're soul winners, that means we're trying to win souls to Christ, because it's a biblical terminology. But sometimes you'll hear that term used interchangeably. People are used to the term outreach right now. That's more of a normal way of saying things. And at our church, we believe in soul winning or outreach or whatever you want to call it. And in this passage, we find that God tells us that He's given us that ministry. Did you notice there in verse number 18 and 19? And I get you to go back and look there. In verses 18 and 19, God tells us that we're given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the word reconciliation is mean helping man to be right with God. So I'm given that ministry. That's what we do as a church. That's what our church is. In fact, we kind of use a term around our church. We just kind of pick it up and use it. It's called keeping the main thing the main thing. And what we mean by that is we want the main thing around our church to be soul winning. We don't want the main thing to be entertainment. We don't want the main thing to be music. We don't want the main thing to be fellowship. We want the main thing to be helping people get right with God. We want people to be reconciled to God. Now, we don't make any bones about it. We ask people to make a decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. We want to do that. We genuinely care. We want people to know the Christ that we know. And so we practice that. That's why we have an outreach program at our church. That's why we meet on Monday nights and then other times throughout the year. We have maybe special outreach campaigns or soul winning campaigns, or we have special Saturdays where we go out Saturday morning. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to reach out into this community, and we want to tell people about Christ. But that's not the only time that we do that. We should do that personally. You know, at work or at school or wherever, whenever we have the opportunity. And that does not mean that we don't work to go soul winning. That means that we go soul winning, and maybe at work when we have a break, we can take the opportunity to talk to someone about Christ as God allows us to do that. So we're saying keeping the main thing the main thing. So the question again, who is to go tell them? Who is going to tell them? Us. We're the preacher. Now, to be a preacher doesn't mean that you have to be one who stands in a pulpit and preaches the Word of God, although our pastor should be preaching the Word of God and telling people about Christ, and he should be also doing that in his personal life. Amen? That's very, very important. So there's some things here in this lesson I want you to understand. Number one is the preparation. There's a preparation. If I'm going to be sharing my faith with someone else, I want to be prepared to do that. How do I do that? What is involved with preparation? Well, the best person who is the expert and the best soul winner that ever lived is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice in your notes there, he gives a verse to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. This verse explains two aspects of how I'm to prepare to be a soul winner or one who shares my faith with others. Let's look at it. He says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Notice the verse starts with a command. A command. Who are we to follow? Are we to follow Michael Jordan? Are we to follow the trends of society? Or the philosophies of our world? No, we're to follow Jesus Christ. We are commanded to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, I learned the commands of God are not optional, they're mandatory. That's what God says. Our life is to line up with His life. We are to follow Him. In fact, 1 Peter says it like this. It says, "For even hereinto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." So as we read the life of Jesus, as we learn and grow, and as we are trying to match up our life with His life, He will show us areas that we need to take care of in our life. So we are commanded to follow Christ. By the way, I think that's very important that we learn that at the beginning of our Christian life. We're following Jesus. Not a pastor, not a denomination, not a group of people, but Jesus Christ. But then the Bible says that not only that, but then there's the area of what we call consecration. This is His work in my life. Did you notice what it says? It says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." The making part is up to God. My part is the following. God does the making. He makes me what He wants me to be. Now, we're all different. And we all are placed in different capacities in this world. Some of us are put, you know, in certain workplaces and schools and perhaps in job situations or maybe places in community that other people never get there. Some of you are in the military. You're in special places like that. But what God is saying is that He's going to make us, but we must follow Him. And the idea of making is as we hear preaching and we respond to the things that God tells us, He asks us to make. He's saying that through that, He's making me what He wants me to be. So when I hear preaching at our church, we always give an invitation. We always want people to respond to the preaching. We want people to be right with God. We want people to get close to God. We want people to know God. And by the way, our preacher's not about getting after people. Our preacher's just about trying to help people to get closer to God and to walk with God and to be reconciled to God. And so this is a daily preparation, this work of God, and it's lifelong. So the making of God is lifelong. And I know that in my own life, God has not made me. He's in the process of making me. And He'll be always that way with you too. So that's important to keep in mind. So the preparation is key. Number two, write this one down. There's the plan, if you notice. There's the plan that God has. And here's the plan that God calls us. Now, God could have called somebody else or something else, but God has given us this major responsibility of sharing the truth or talking to others. That's why we are called ambassadors in this chapter. We are called ambassadors. Who an ambassador is someone who goes to another country and speaks in behalf of a foreign country. In this case, you and I, we are left here on earth to carry the message of heaven to the world. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, we're able to carry the message of heaven to the world. You know, when we go in, we're telling people about what heaven is about. One of the things I find is whenever I do a lot of funerals, and my opportunity in doing funerals is they always want to hear about heaven. A couple weeks ago, the funeral home called me and asked me this, and they said something to this effect. They said, "Look, there's a lady whose husband died, and they're not a religious family. And we'd like to know if you'd be willing to take and do the service." And I'm thinking in my mind, well, I'm not a religious family either. I said, "Sure, I'll give him a call," because I don't know what that means, because some people use the word religion a little loosely. And so I said, "Sure," let me call him. So I called the lady, and I talked to her a little bit, and she happens to be from Germany. And her dad had married a German lady, and he had died. And she said that she wanted to do this service here. She'd come from Germany over here to do this service. And I said, "Well, you know," I said, the lady was talking to me from the funeral home and said that, you know, you didn't want a religious service, but what do you want me to say about your dad?" And she said, "Well, I got a whole bunch of stuff I want said. I said, but let me ask you this. I said, "Don't you think it would be important for people to hear about heaven and about Jesus? Because to be honest with you, a funeral without that is an empty funeral." You know what she said? "Yes, I think that'd be great." So you know what I did? Did what I always do. I went and preached about Jesus because I'm an ambassador. I'm here for that purpose. That's why God left me here. He didn't leave me here so that I could just get old and grumpy and lose my hair and all those kind of things and do nothing. He left me here so I can serve Jesus and tell about others. And that's why you're here. That's why God left you here. God didn't save you and take you to heaven. God doesn't just, as soon as people get saved, they go to heaven. He leaves them here for that purpose. So this is very important. This is the calling that God has placed on my life and on your life. And this is the calling that God has placed in every one of us. But not only that, but God commits His word to us. We have a basic plan that we use when we're sharing the gospel. There are other good plans, but we use one at our church. It's a very basic plan. It's called the Romans Road. We use the Romans Road because it's all found in the book of Romans. And in the book of Romans, it has just some various verses. And so I want to show you what those verses are, and I wrote them down. But one of the things to set up before you begin to talk to someone and share the gospel is give them your testimony. Tell them how you trusted Christ as Savior. You can do that in a minute, just in 1 minute or so. Tell them about what God did in your life and how you had trusted Christ, how someone shared the gospel with you, or maybe you came to church and heard the gospel and through that God spoke to your heart. Make sure and start off that way, because that way you're not telling them something that you personally have never done. So that's important. And then take them through what we call the Romans Road. And you don't have to give a real lengthy explanation, but you can just go through these verses. Let's take our Bibles and go through them, and let me show you how you would do this. This is a good way to help you so that you can understand. So if I go into a home and I'm talking to someone, I'm going to want to keep my New Testament. I do not want to carry a big Bible with me. There's a reason for that. If I carry a big Bible, when they see me knocking on the door, they probably will not open the door, because that will be threatening to them. They will think, "Oh man, a Bible thumper right outside my door." And so they will be threatened. So I always have a New Testament. And I take that New Testament and I put it in my pocket. And if you're a lady, you can put it in your purse, or maybe in a carry bag of some type. And you would put that away. And then when you knock on the door, you really like to have your hands free. It's best to not have a whole bunch of stuff in your hand. Just leave your hands free. And knock on the door and say, "Hi, I'm Rick Stonestreet. I'm from Calvary Baptist Church. Just want to come by and visit with you a few minutes and just talk to you a little bit about your son's been coming to our church and wanted to talk to you a little bit about what God's been doing in his life. And do you have a few minutes? Sure, come on in." And so we go inside and sit down. And one of the things we do is, as we're sitting there, is we want to get to know the people just a little bit. So I ask them a few questions. "Oh, I notice you have a deer on the wall. Are you a hunter?" No, my dad is. That's great. Where does he hunt? Does he hunt in Colorado? That looks like a big muley deer where all the deer are out here in the West, and maybe over there in Wyoming. Where does he hunt, you know? And so I'm trying to get some common ground with him. And then while I'm doing that, then what I do is then I give my testimony. And that way, what I'm trying to do now is I'm starting to move in to what I call the Romans Road plan. And so I tell them about how I was saved. And then I take them to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Would you go there with me, please? I want you to see it. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The very first thing that every person must know and believe is that nobody's perfect. Now, I haven't met a whole lot of people that deny that, but I have met a few that said something like, "Well, I'm not that bad of a person." And the truth of the matter is, there are a lot of good people in our world that probably aren't real bad, but the Bible says that all of us are still sinners. It only takes one time for us to sin in order to be a sinner. And God says that we're all sinners, every one of us. And so you don't really have to spend a lot of time when you do this, just a little bit of time. And what I do is when I do this is I don't ever say, you know, you're just a sinner. I say something like this. I said, you know, the Bible says we're all sinners. You know, and if I have my wife sinner, I say, you know, my wife's a sinner. Boy, is she a sinner. You know? Brother Abelos with you. Brother Abelos, he's a sinner. Man, I tell you, I can tell you. Or I'll say, and I'm a sinner. And the Bible says that you're a sinner too. Because I want them to understand that we're all, the playing field is even. Does that make sense? And so when I'm doing that, I'm helping them to understand. And then the next thing I do is I take into Romans 6:23. If you go there in Romans 6:23, this is the area that you do not want to miss. This is the heart and soul of Romans Road right here. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, I want to take that phrase apart because they'll never get this if I don't. For the wages of sin is death. Now, a wage is what you get in exchange for what you do. The Bible says that what a man gets in exchange for his sin, since we know we're all sinners, is we're going to die. The word death means a separation. And there are two kinds in the Bible. Basic kinds. There's number one, there's what we call the physical death, which we are familiar with in this life. That's why we have funeral homes and graveyards and so on and so forth. That means that when a person dies physically, his soul will be separated from his body. But that cannot mean that in this passage. Because if that were the case, as soon as a kid did the first thing wrong, he would die physically. There must be a deeper meaning. There's a spiritual death the Bible speaks of. That spiritual death is separation from God in the place the Bible calls hell. And nobody in their right mind would ever want to go there. It's a horrible place. It's a place of torment and judgment. But the Bible says that's what we've earned. That's the wage for it. But did you notice the last part of that verse? This is the best part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So a gift is different from a wage. A gift costs somebody else something, but it didn't cost you anything. In other words, if you were to try to pay for it, it wouldn't be a gift, it'd be a wage. If you were to try to pay for your salvation, you would be trying to earn it by paying a wage, getting a wage for it. And the Bible says the only wage that we get is death and hell. But the gift, and the Bible says salvation, eternal life, a home in heaven, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus Christ paid for the gift. The gift is free to you, the recipient, but not to the person who purchased it. Now what did he do? Romans 5:8. You go to Romans 5:8, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let me explain to you what that means. That means that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sin and your sin. and the blood that he shed paid for my sin. So when we talk about that to our friends, our family members, and those around us, and who's going to tell us, we just simply explain to them what he did on the cross. Because if Jesus, if eternal life is the key, Jesus is the key to eternal life, what did he do? He died on the cross for our sins. And then normally at that point in time, I will take out a piece of paper, or I'll take out a pen, or I'll take out a track or something, and here's what I do. I said, let me explain to you how this works. Let's say, for example, this pen is eternal life. And this Bible that I have is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, because of what he did, by reaching out and taking Jesus Christ, I receive eternal life. That's how I go to heaven. It doesn't say that I do this 6 times a month or 14 times a year or, you know, twice in revival meeting. It says that I simply do it one time, where I ask him to be my personal Savior. It doesn't say I do that and join the church. I do that and get baptized. I do that and all that. No, none of that is connected with our salvation. It means simply that Jesus, by calling on him and asking him, and that's what he says, that I receive him. And that's the last part in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9. Can I get you to go with me, please, and look at that? Normally at this point, it's a good time to review. Now, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible said there's a penalty for sin. The Bible said that Jesus paid that penalty, but according to Romans 10, verse number 9, follow me carefully, the Bible makes it very clear what this receiving him is all about. Notice what he says. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew, the Greek, the same Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What it means is simply this, that I'm willing to believe that all the Bible says of what Jesus did for me by dying on the cross, being buried, rose again, by believing him and only him, and calling him, asking him to be my personal Savior, the Bible says, I can be saved. Again, one-time act. We begin a relationship with him. That's what it means. Simple, but yet very, very important. So when God teaches us that, that's what God says he wants us to do. Don't argue. Just use the scriptures. You've said, you know, sometimes people will say something like, well, what about, don't I have to know all about their religious backgrounds? No, you don't. I can tell you this on personal experience. I have won Mormons to the Lord doing this. I've won Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord doing the Romans Road. I've won Lutherans, Methodists, you name it. I've won Baptists. It doesn't matter what their background is. That right there is the heart and soul of the gospel. That's all that we're told to do. We're ambassadors. And sometimes people get frustrated because they say, well, people aren't responding. How do you know they're not? How do you know they're not? You don't know that. So when we call on the Lord, or we tell them about that, let God take care of that. God gives the increase. I'm just the ambassador. I'm not the Savior. I'm the ambassador. And that's what God says. One more thought I want to give you in this lesson is the people. Our memory verse teaches us that God uses normal people to do soul winning. You don't have to have a degree from a Bible college or a special certificate in sharing your faith. God can and will use anyone who is willing to be obedient in this area. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's many people who will use this as an excuse, use fear as an excuse for not going out. But I want to tell you this. Everybody is afraid. Everybody. But when we trust in the power of God, God will give us holy boldness, just like He did in the first century church, to go out, and we go in the power of God. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 gives us a verse that tells us that God will give us the Holy Spirit to give us a boldness as we go out to share this truth with the world. That's who tells them, us. All right, here's some questions for us to consider. Let's take a few minutes and see if we can fill them out. And then what we'll do is we'll have our invitation after that, all right? To answer these questions, according to Romans 10:14, our memory verse, what is necessary for people to hear God's word? Preacher. Needs a preacher. A preacher. Number two, what does the word witness mean? First-hand account. One who gives a first-hand account of that which they've seen and heard. Number three, according to 2 Corinthians 5:18, what kind of ministry are we given? Reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. Correct. Number four, what is the first thing we should do according to Matthew 4:19 if we are to be a soul winner? Follow Christ. Follow Christ. That is correct. Number five, what is the path called in sharing scriptures with someone? Romans Road. The Romans Road. Number six, according to Romans 6:23, what is the gift of eternal life in? Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, why did God leave us here on earth after we got saved? It's to be a witness and share the gospel, share the truth. That is correct. Number eight, according to Romans 1:8, how do we overcome our fear of soul winning? The power of God, the Holy Spirit of God. We need His power to be able to overcome that. I'm going to tell you this. Probably the majority of you who do not come out, you can say all that you want. We'll stop here. This is not really discipleship. But the majority of the reason why people don't come out on Monday night and go soul winning is not because they're tired on Monday, or because they have a whole lot of other things. The majority of the people, the reason why they don't come out, they're scared. They're scared. They're afraid. That's the majority of it. Now, I know some people have to work late, and I understand all that, and I'm well aware of that. I'm a realist. But I think the majority of the people, the reason why they don't come out, even on Saturday when they don't have to work, they're afraid. They're just afraid. And the way to overcome that is to have the power of God. And I'll tell you something else I learned. The more you go out, even when you're afraid, the more you go out, the less afraid you'll be. You'll go over that. You get over that fear. Because the truth matter is, you know, the devil can use fear to stop us from doing a lot of things that God's spoken to our hearts about doing. Some people won't get baptized because they're afraid. But God says He wants us to. So don't let fear be that which determines what you do for the Lord. Make sure you have God to tell you what He wants you to do. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father,